This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin at the airport, where the nightmare is growing for travelers, some who've been stranded for days thanks to bad weather and staffing issues. Correspondent Jared Hill has our top story.
According to the flight tracking website FlightAware, more than 2,000 flights were canceled yesterday in the U.S. and another 7,000 delayed.
We sat on the tarmac for 4 hours, got here, were able to get a rental car, but we waited for like 3.5 hours.
United Airlines says 150,000 of its customers have been affected. In a message to employees, the company's CEO slammed the Federal Aviation Administration's decision to cancel flights in the Newark region, claiming the severe weather is something the FAA has historically been able to manage.
Parts of the South are still blanketed in triple-digit heat. This man in Dallas blames climate change.
Science is out there. You know, everything's out there now. We know what's happening, so it's getting hotter as just the world is changing.
Hundreds of thousands of Muslim pilgrims are braving 100-plus degree temperatures to perform the symbolic stoning of the devil at the Hajj pilgrimage in Saudi Arabia. We're learning more about the mutiny by mercenary troops in Russia last weekend. Correspondent Cammie McCormick reports.
The New York Times is reporting a deputy Russian commander had advanced knowledge of the insurrection, and U.S. officials are looking into whether he may have helped the head of the Wagner group, and he may not have been the only one. Wagner chief Yevgeny Prigozhin has insisted his actions were aimed at Russia's military leadership, which he has long been critical of, blaming them for failures in Ukraine.
A Kremlin spokesman confirms the Pope's peace envoy has just arrived in Moscow. All five Mississippi sheriff's deputies accused of attacking two black men have been fired. WJTV's Leah Williams.
The lawsuit alleges that deputies tortured and abused Eddie Parker and Michael Corey Jenkins at Parker's home on January 24th. Jenkins was also shot in the mouth and is still recovering from life-threatening injuries.
Remember the problems with heavy metal in baby food? Consumer Reports' James Rogers says many brands still contain arsenic, cadmium, and lead.
You may want to feed less of these three products if this is on the menu for your child.
Among the brands cited, Earth's Best Organic, Beech Nut Naturals, and Gerber. Maybe it's not the doughy disc you're used to.
Stand up! Because your pizza's here.
But it could be the precursor. Archaeologists working among the ruins in Pompeii have come across a 2,000-year-old fresco on the wall of a home depicting a flat, round piece of dough topped with pomegranate spices and what may have been an early pesto. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Viking.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of insane out there. In roller derby, it's not a game, it's a bout. And each jam is filled with insane drive blocks and rushing soul crushes that rip shivers through your toe stops. Pace line, pivot line, jam a grand slam, whip a scoring pass, or you're down with rink rash. Yeah, there's a whole lot of insane out there. And every Wisconsin roller derby girl knows to be insanely good on the flat track, you can't be insanely drunk. And if you can't be drunk on those wheels, you'd be super insane to roll drunk on your car's wheels. So take it from Wisconsin's best jammers, blockers, and pivots. When it comes to driving,
drive sober on the road,
no matter how many wheels you roll.
Because you can't lap the pack with an OWI riding your back. So ladies and guys, drive sober or get pulled over. And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Download the free Drive Sober app with a Find a Ride feature, awesome videos, and more at WITrafficSafety.org.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Dom's or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattiner.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
And welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Wednesday, June 28th. I'm looking at my national day calendar here, and I'm finding that it's kind of lacking. It's National Paul Bunyan Day, it's National Insurance Awareness Day, and it's International Caps Lock Day. So apparently, if you like to scream in the chat section, that's okay. All right. So not every day can be a winner here, folks, but we will make up for it with a great guest and a great topic. First, I'll tell you that if you missed our last hour, catch the show anytime, including our climate check with Melissa Baldoff as a podcast. Go to civicmedia.us or Apple, Spotify, any place like that. Subscribe, download the show. We'd love to have you along. But if you're here live, the studio line is 844-967-2789. And I'm joined now by Doug Mell, who between serving as editor of the Eau Claire Leader-Telegram to spending 15 years serving at UW-Stout, this is a guy who knows a thing or two about politics versus spin. And he has an editorial column in the Cap Times with the headline, Robin Voss's Vendetta for the UW is Based on a False Premise. And we'll get into that. Doug Mell, good morning.
Good morning, Patrick.
Hey, good to see you. Just a couple of old Chippewa Valley media hacks finally getting to just, bloviate on the radio. Right. So that's pretty darn nice. But hey, after you spent time as a political reporter for the State Journal, many years at the Leader-Telegram, you spent 15 years until fairly recently at UW-Stout. So you've been inside the system. So when you see this Republican cut to the UW budget, a cut during a record surplus, but because it's a little hissy fit about diversity, equity, inclusion, you wrote this column saying, that the whole reason for the snit is based on a false premise. What's the false premise?
Well, false premise is this. Robin Voss and those who support him in the Republican caucus, both it seems like in the assembly and in the state senate, seem to think that it's the administration at these campuses that want DEI because they want to somehow indoctrinate all the students that come into the UW system into being a diverse, equitable, and inclusive person, that somehow they go through some sort of indoctrination. I think the term that Speaker Voss used was evangelize. And in my experience, it's actually the opposite. In my experience, through 15 years at UW-Stout, it was actually the students, for the most part, and to some extent the faculty and staff, that actually came to the administration and said almost continually, Pat, we want you to do more in the area of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Back then, it was, we had a lot of terms, force of excellence, affirmative action, not so much affirmative action, but, more diversity, diversity was sort of how it was referred to. But it was literally over those 15 years, it was the students who came to the administration and said, we want you to do more, rather than the administration hiring all these positions to sort of brainwash, or whatever term you want to use, the students. It's actually the opposite of how Speaker Voss portrays it.
Yeah, well, Speaker Voss has a rather unique way. The thrice married speaker went in to invoke religion, saying recently at the Republican State Convention that DEI, quote, is the new religion of the left. They don't go to church on Sunday, but they have no problem using taxpayer dollars to evangelize on every college campus across the state. We have to stop, put our foot down, and not allow that to continue. And I'm not really sure if there is, I don't know that there's a word in that quote that is fact-based whatsoever. It's certainly not anything about new religion, about not going to church, evangelizing. I'm not seeing any basis, in fact, in what he told the Republican convention.
Well, there isn't. There's no basis in fact, because it's actually the opposite of what he said. Now, I will tell you that I work for four chancellors at UW. Every day in the goals of DEI, there's no. The question was, how do you make that happen on campus? I hope that Speaker Voss doesn't mean that we shouldn't have diverse campuses, that campuses need to be 90, 100%, you know, majority white. I hope he doesn't want a campus that isn't based on equity, that everybody, no matter if what your race is, no matter what your sexual orientation is, no matter what your creed is, are treated differently. I hope he doesn't want campuses that aren't inclusive, that don't include everybody. And frankly, you need efforts on campuses to make sure that each campus is as welcoming for people from all walks of life, from all backgrounds, from all races.
Possible. There's no sin. There's no sin in that. So we will continue this conversation with Doug Mell. We're going to get a check on weather and sports coming up right after this break. You're up north.
One call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for organized crime, racketeer influenced and corrupt organizations act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday, or is it Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in. turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
That I most definitely need from
All right, as I mentioned, we are going to be talking about a New York state of mind since the Brewers are in New York to play the Mets. I'll get an update on the score in just a second here. But first, we're going to have our weatherology forecast through the haze and through what's already quickly warming up temperatures, at least in western Wisconsin here. And Jennifer Wachitsky from Weatherology is going to tell us about the forecast all across the state of Wisconsin. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, it does still look like we've got that air quality alert in effect for the entire state again today. The Canadian wildfire smoke lingers with the heaviest smoke in the eastern half of the state today. The air quality is ranging from unhealthy to very unhealthy and poses particular issues for people with respiratory issues, heart disease, children, and older adults, so prolonged outdoor activity isn't advised today. Apart from that, though, it looks like chances for showers and storms across the board today into tonight with a marginal to slight risk for severe weather. That slight risk will range from Wausau down to Richland Center over to Amory and Baldwin. The main threats look to be large hail and damaging winds for the whole state, but cannot rule out a tornado chance within that slight risk here for today and tonight. So definitely something we'll keep you posted on throughout the day. Highs today in the mid-70s to low 80s, a few warmer temperatures in southwestern Wisconsin. Thursday warmer overall tomorrow with a few areas getting to right around 90 degrees, Waukesha up to Richland Center and to the southwest. Otherwise in the 80s for the rest tomorrow. Still a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms with a marginal risk for severe weather from Oshkosh down to Madison and over to the lakefront. Then on Friday, a chance for showers and storms mainly in the afternoon for most temperatures pretty similar to tomorrow. Then 80s expected for the weekend in the 70s closer to Lake Michigan with a slight chance for showers and storms for most, less of a chance around Amory with sunny skies expected around there.
And again, wherever you are today, if you can stay inside with the air conditioner, all the better. Jennifer, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
No problem. Thanks.
All right. And you can definitely see the warm-up happening already this morning. It is already 70 degrees in La Crosse. It is 69 degrees up here on Lake Wissota, while over in Oshkosh, it's 61. Green Bay coming in at 61 for folks listening on the Talk of Green Bay as well. The Brewers, as I mentioned, are in New York. They've now split the first two games of that four-game series, losing to the Mets yesterday 7-2. Milwaukee starting pitcher Julio Teheran retired the first nine batters, but then from the fourth, fifth, and sixth innings, he ended up giving up seven runs, as many runs as he'd allowed in his previous six starts with the Brewers. Two more games to go against the Mets, 6 o'clock tonight and tomorrow night before heading to Pittsburgh to the weekend. And a reminder, Up North News puts out a daily newsletter Monday through Friday, comes out around 5 a.m. You can subscribe to it by going to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and clicking on newsletter up in the top banner. We'd love to have you be a subscriber there. All right, Doug Mell joins us once again, former communications director for UW Stout, former editor for the Eau Claire Leader Telegram, and his guest column in the Cap Times says that the Republican vendetta, especially from Republican Speaker Robin Voss, is based on a false premise that it's not about indoctrination from the top. It's that students and staff and educators want their campuses to be more inclusive and diverse. And I guess, Doug, to pick up the conversation, I don't want to accuse Robin Voss of saying something in bad faith. Oh, wait, no. Yes, I do. He knows this already. He knows that this is what when students go to, again, now not every student on campus, they're not monolithic. Of course, there are people who are, shall we say, not all on board with racial justice. But by and large, you have a community that wants to have a full telling of history, to learn from the past so that we can learn more about planning for the present and future.
Yeah, I agree. And if you think about it, and this actually just occurred to me sort of after I wrote the column. The Republicans keep talking about we need to work on the workforce of our state, right? We need to make sure we don't have a lot of people in the state. We don't have enough people in the state to supply the jobs that we need, right? Why wouldn't you want DEI efforts aimed at ensuring that every person who is capable of obtaining a college education and going into the workforce in the higher and sort of in the higher levels of occupations that need higher levels of education. Why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want to make sure that basically no student who wants a college education is left behind? Frankly, there are students in this state that need help. We have TRIO programs. We have a lot of programs aimed at students who aren't quite ready for college, okay? And a lot of those programs, Pat, fall within DEI. You know, the federal TRIO programs and Outward Bound programs and those kind of programs. Why wouldn't you want to make sure that every student who really wants a college education and can do the work but needs some help gets there? I really don't understand this. And
well,
it certainly isn't worth cutting the UW system budget over.
No, especially at a time, and some folks might have heard this. I'm going to say it again. There's a $7 billion surplus, and yet the Republicans are about to approve a budget that cuts University of Wisconsin by some $32 million, because that's what they think is how much is spent on DEI programs, which, again, to reaffirm your point, is not just about race.
No.
That it involves other groups that are either no. vulnerable, marginalized, unrepresented, and those are, you know, some of your own neighbors, no matter where you live in Wisconsin,
no question about it,
that are going to lose out on something like this. You know, Doug, being retired now, and you get to speak your mind much more freely.
Yes.
I could not have asked you this question when you were at UW Stout. I know what kind of an answer I would have received. But basically, if this budget goes through as is with a cut to the UW system, should Governor Evers veto it and make them start over?
There's no question. He needs to veto it. And I'll tell you why, Pat, and I've told people this. This really kind of got to me. In June, when they raised the pride flag over the U.S. Capitol, Tony Evers presided over that. This is the second year they raised the pride flag. He cried, Pat. He cried talking about the hardships that a lot of LGBTQ plus people in this state go through. He sobbed on the dais right outside the East Wing. I don't know if you saw that, but it was very emotional. I found it very emotional. There is no way then that he can turn around and sign a budget that cuts the programs for the very people that he cried about in June when he raised the pride flag. There is no way that he can do it. Plus some of the other things in a budget, you know, the tax cuts for the rich, the fact that there's not an engineering school construction project in the budget for UW-Madison, just a bunch of other things. But he has to veto that budget. There's absolutely no question in my mind.
Now, here's the downside of that, if you will, and I know you're aware of it, but for other folks who aren't, there isn't going to be a government shutdown at the state level if the governor vetoes this budget. It doesn't force something like that.
Right.
What happens is this current budget, the one about to expire, this one just kind of goes into overtime with the same level of state spending. So
right.
There's really no pressure on Republicans to pass a new budget. So if they veto it, none of the whatever increases are in the budget bill right now, none of them go through, and everything just continues as it is. So that's the risk that the governor would take in vetoing this, is that Republicans say, fine, nothing gets an increase, nothing gets a cut, we just stay as is. And, you know, does that cause as much harm as signing a budget with a UW cut?
Well, no, because if you're just talking specifically for the UW system, actually the present budget then is better than the budget for 23-25, right? Because the budget mm-hmm. of 23-25 has a $32 million cut. This one at least keeps them where they're at, right?
Right, but other things that
oh,
this
I know.
Affect,
I
yeah.
know.
And it risks making that, the UW then looks like a scapegoat. It's almost like a game Republicans are playing, is that they'll say to all these other folks, well, it's the UW's fault. Make them get rid of DEI.
Right. There's no question
about
it.
It's a game. It's all the game to them.
Yeah. But, and you're right that the, I've been told that Tony doesn't really want to veto the budget, but mm-hmm. I, I think it's incumbent on him. I think, and I haven't checked this, I think one of the big factors always in whether or not to veto budget is what happens to school aides. Do the schools get their money, the increased money in September, and shared revenue? I think they took care of shared revenue because they enacted shared revenue increases outside the budget. They did that through separate legislation that the Republicans and the governor negotiated. So I think they've taken care of shared revenue. School aides is another thing. And there are a lot of good things in this budget. But I think because of the tax cuts, at, you know, basically a $3 billion giveaway to the rich, and the cut to the UW system, he's going to have to veto this. And if you think about it, I'm sure you're aware of this, but this is the budget he can veto because this isn't a re-election budget. 25-27 is a re-election budget for Tony Evers if he decides to run for re-election again. Okay, 23-25 isn't. That'll be forgotten.
Yeah.
So yeah, I, as a former political reporter for the State Journal, I covered a lot of budget debates that went into August, September, October. So it's not unusual for the budget to not get passed by and signed by July 1st.
And you could actually make the argument that, yes, by going into overtime on this, it's actually gives more time for the public to put pressure on their local Republican legislators and say, what are you doing here? Yeah. $7 billion surplus and you're cutting the UW? I think they're really counting on this backlash. And I've been hearing this for, you know, since I was in the legislature in the, you know, the 2007 budget that took until November. But you always heard this attitude of, well, college isn't for everybody. No, it's not for everybody. But the college that's there for people should be a good system, should be one that produces the best and brightest, attracts them, retains our best and brightest young people. And the message this legislature is sending is to folks who do want to get educated at a college or university is you don't matter. You can go ahead and leave and go right. Create a job and put down stakes somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know why, given the tremendous engine for economic development that the UW system is, I really have always been amazed at how hard we had to work to convince Republicans to invest in the UW system. And, I spent 15 years, part of my job was working with legislators. I was a legislative liaison. And we had a good relationship with our local legislators. But when it came time to vote in the budget, a lot of them, they just get in line, Pat. And they want to do the right. A lot of these mid to backbench legislators want to do the right thing. They really do. But when the leadership has other agendas, which is A, for Robin Voss, fighting off a primary opponent in the next election, because he darn near got took down the last time by a primary opponent, right?
Yep.
And B, satisfying the more right-wing members of his caucus, mm-hmm. which is another reason that he's doing this. He wants to show power in the caucus.
In other words, it is all just a game to him, Doug. I'm running up against a commercial break here, but hey, come back so we can talk more about this, especially since the budget might be in overtime by then. Again, Doug Mell's column is in the Cap Times. Thank you, Doug. Good to talk to you.
Nice talking to you, Pat.
All right. Have a great day. And when we come back, we'll talk a bit more about the state budget and also about a Supreme Court decision, a big one about the big lie. We'll be back. You're up north.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. The nightmare continues for U.S. travelers with more than 30,000 flights canceled or delayed in the U.S. since Sunday. CBS's Jared Hill.
The Providence High School singers practiced and stretched to kill time while stranded at LAX. Their connecting flight to Newark was canceled, though they've been rebooked on new flights to get to their choir tour in Ireland.
Severe storms and stifling heat get some of the blame. Meteorologist David Parkinson.
In terms of your record high temperatures today, we're going to be seeing 97 or 98 in New Orleans. You add a feels like temperature and we are in the one teens there.
Five Mississippi sheriff's deputies have been fired after accusations they beat and sexually assaulted
assaulted two black men, then shot one of them in the mouth. WJTV's Leah Williams.
The Mississippi Bureau of Investigation is still investigating. Sheriff Brian Bailey would not answer any detailed questions about the incident due to the lawsuit and ongoing investigation.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Dom or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's Pat Kreitlow.
Because we were talking to Doug Mell a bit ago about the state budget and whether, when Republicans pass it out of the Senate and Assembly this week, Governor Evers should veto it. I hope that folks will, we've talked about so many different elements that are part of a state budget bill, the things that are not going to be a part of it, like childcare counts. I mean, this budget bill is literally going to kill off a program that was keeping childcare affordable in Wisconsin. Now, granted, it was with federal money, but with a $7 billion surplus, there is enough state money to continue that going and address the worker shortage. The legislature, the Republicans in it, will not put that back in. They will not put back in, the governor's proposal to expand Badger Care to more working families. They will not put back in the money they're cutting from the University of Wisconsin system. They will not put back in the money that they cut out entirely from improving the UW's College of Engineering, which would do so much to create a new generation of jobs, good paying jobs in Wisconsin, and a host of other things that won't be in it. But I hope a lot of the attention this week is also on what is in the budget bill. Keep this in mind. Governor Evers proposed tax cuts, and it was a very simple tax cut. if you're an individual making $100,000 or less, if you were a couple making less than $150,000, you got a 10% tax cut. It's very simple, right? I mean, for all the talk about, you know, flat tax and everything, you know, make it simple. That's simple. 10% tax cut at those levels. Be up above those levels, not a tax cut, not a tax hike. Here's what's in the bill instead, what Republicans put in the other day. And recall that I referred to it as a heist. This is quite literally stealing from your surplus to give it to the very wealthy. State Representative Francesca Hong helped share a memo from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau that breaks down the Republicans' version of the tax cut. So I'm going to throw some numbers at you, but you know, please try to follow along here. And just remember to compare it to just a basic, good old-fashioned 10% tax cut at $150,000 or below if you're a couple, $100,000 if you are an individual. If your adjusted gross income under the Republican bill is $90,000 to $100,000, you're going to see a tax decrease of $515 or a 14% tax cut. That's pretty decent. But if you're in the $40,000 to $50,000 bracket, you're only going to see a 7% tax cut. If you're in the $20,000 to $25,000 range, you're only going to get a 3.8% tax cut. Meanwhile, under this bill, if you are making $1 million a year, $1 million, that's your income, you'll get a 16.4% tax cut. And if you are making it cuts off at about $15 million. If you're making $15 million or more, and that, by the way, is, let me do some quick math here, roughly 300 taxpayers. Those 300 taxpayers are going to get a 17% tax cut. In fact, if your income is $75 million a year or more, and you'll say, there's nobody like that. Yeah, there are. According to this memo, there are 11 people in Wisconsin who file their taxes and report adjusted gross income of $75 million or more. They're getting that nearly 18% tax cut. Their taxes, each one of those 11 people are going to have their taxes cut $1.8 million. They don't do anything differently, and they still make $75 million plus, but that's $1.8 million that won't go into childcare, that won't go into a middle-class tax cut, that won't go into broadband expansion, which Republicans in the legislature cut to $0, so that these 11 people can each get $1.8 million less of a tax bill. Well, meanwhile, back at those other brackets, if you're making $20,000 to $25,000, your tax cut is $11. $11. If you make $50,000 to $60,000 a year, your tax cut is $165. If you make $200,000 a year, it's still $1,700 is a pretty good tax cut, but it's nothing like, you know, $1.8 million. Let me be a bit more realistic. Just for people who have an adjusted gross income of $500,000, $500,000 a year, there are nearly 18,000 people in Wisconsin who make at least $500,000 a year. They'll see a 16% tax cut, and that's a savings of $6,000. That's, by the way, that adds up to, That's right. $109 million cumulative that will not go into helping our schools, helping our infrastructure, helping create jobs in the state. There's more than enough money for a tax cut for the middle class, 10% across the board for people making $100,000 or $150,000 or less. Republicans didn't have to go with that. They could have said, you know, 10% for everybody. But instead, when you average all of this out, it averages out to a 15% tax cut. And that's what they're going to say. They're going to say, Governor Evers wanted to cut taxes 10%. We cut taxes 15%. No, you didn't. You cut it almost 18% for people making $75 million and 3.5% for people making $25,000 a year. That's the legacy of this budget. And it is what leads people to say, maybe we are better off if we just keep this budget in place, veto it, and see if there can be enough pressure brought on other Republican members of the legislature to say, okay, let's write a new budget bill. Let's make it 10% for everybody or whatever. Let's put back the funding for the UW system. Let's put money into child care counts. Let's put the money into the College of Engineering, because that's what our constituents want. And I promise you this week, a whole lot of advocates for child care and public education are trying to pressure Republican legislators into amending the state budget bill this week. It probably won't happen, but I promise you, if the governor vetoes this bill and this goes into overtime throughout the summer of having the Republicans start over with a bill, the public pressure, they may think attention is going to come off them. No, it's going to be exactly the opposite. Because if we get to start fresh, everybody's going to come back in to Republican legislators' offices and on the phones and by email and in listening sessions and town halls and say, get it done right. You don't need to cut the taxes of somebody making $75 million by $1.8 million. Rethink this. Come up with something closer to what middle-class families, the hardest working families in Wisconsin, actually want. In other news, the U.S. Supreme Court actually helped democracy dodge a bullet on a 6-3 vote yesterday. But when you hear about what this vote was, you're going to be angry that there were still somehow three conservatives who voted for this loony conspiracy theory that got voted down by the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court was asked to decide a case that made the claim that state legislatures had total authority over election laws in their state and that courts could not second guess them. Courts could not review what the legislatures were doing. It's a very fringe legal theory known as the independent state legislature theory, ISL, independent state legislature theory. It's a very extreme reading of some language in the Constitution that does say that the legislature is the one who sets the parameters of the election. It starts with the legislature, that they set up the date or the time or the system or what have you. But if you read it to its extreme, you can take that language to mean, oh, the legislature is the only group that has any authority over elections. And what this means is, let's go back to 2020. If Mike Pence had actually gone along with Donald Trump's plot to overthrow the election, if he said, we're throwing this back to the state legislatures because there's doubt, the Republican-led Wisconsin legislature could have, and I promise you would have, taken a vote that said, oh, there were so many irregularities, we've determined that Donald Trump actually won Wisconsin's electoral votes. And that's what would have been transmitted to Congress. And if this U.S. Supreme Court had said, yes, under independent state legislature theory, that's exactly what they can do, can you imagine the chaos it would have brought then, or that it would bring to the 2024 presidential election? And so thankfully, it was voted down 6-3. And keep in mind, there are six conservatives on that court. The six conservatives split 3-3. And the three that dissented from this ruling, the three that would give state legislatures the power to overrule the will of the voters in their state, were the usual suspects: Samuel Alito, Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch. that there is a U.S. Supreme Court that exists now with those three that were willing to do that is alarming. Equally alarming as when the Wisconsin Supreme Court came within one vote of accepting a case that could have led to the state Supreme Court overturning the will of the voters. But conservative Brian Hagedorn, who's proven to be a swing justice on legal matters, said from a legal standpoint, I'm a conservative, but from a legal standpoint, this makes no sense. And thankfully, Wisconsin did not plunge the nation into chaos in 2020. But ISL here would have done exactly that. And we should be very thankful that the U.S. Supreme Court, that at least three of the six conservatives, you know, came to their senses on this. One more story to share from you, and I don't quite know how to approach this because I don't watch or listen to this Pat McAfee show. I just know that he has Aaron Rodgers on all the time, and it seemed like with every increasing appearance, Aaron Rodgers got a little bit more detached from whatever he once was. Congressman Mike Gallagher from Green Bay was on the show yesterday, I think. And he brought along a Spotted Cow beer, which is great. But he then was wearing a shirt that portrayed wrestler John Cena as Mao Zedong. And he talked about UFOs and China and Elon Musk. But as they went on talking about, the UFOs and, you know, things that Elon Musk could do with his satellites in terms of China, it just makes me wonder this simple thing. Is the Pat McAfee show a plant? Is it something that was created by folks in Illinois to make Wisconsinites look a little goofy and a little bit more detached from reality when they come on here? I mean, Aaron Rodgers used to be far more respected. Mike Gallagher used to be far more respected. And then they come onto this show and this McAfee gets them talking about goofy stuff like UFOs and hallucinogenic drugs and what have you. And I just want that advice to any other leading Wisconsinites that if Pat McAfee invites you on, rethink it. Might just be Illinois trying to make us look goofier, and we don't need that right now in the national lens. All right, we'll take a break, see if Todd Alba would like to join us and talk about what's coming up on this afternoon's Todd Alba Show. And again, you can catch all of what we do at Up North News on social media. Just search for Up North News WI. We'll be back in just a bit. You're Up North.
Welcome to the Main Street Cafe. You are in Bloomer, a few miles north of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. A small town, 3,000 people, but there are big things happening at the cafe.
Every year, on the average of about 150,000 pies.
150,000 pies and more than 65 varieties made, sold, and enjoyed here. But can you guess which is the most popular pie choice in Wisconsin? Apple, cherry, or pumpkin? The answer coming up.
Most of it's made by hand. The taste, the flavor. We use real Wisconsin dairy products.
Real dairy products, including free ice cream on your pie and free refills of milk. It's something cafe owner Donnie Stoic likes to brag about.
The horn I like to toot. We do that every day, not just during June.
As we wrap up our celebration of June Dairy Month, did you guess? Cherry pie is the Wisconsin favorite, according to Instacart. Now we want to know yours and who makes it. Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Partly cloudy today with more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires. And then by later this afternoon, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible. And a couple of those could be strong to severe with hail and wind being the main threat. Stay tuned for updates on that today. High of 83 this afternoon, 63 tonight with scattered thunderstorms and the possibility of some heavy rain. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 69.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Third floor to the fourth. I'm not sure how far I'm moving on up, but
living
but yes,
a good life.
Floor.
Yeah, good for you.
And yeah, now you're closer to the smoke.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeepers. Well, glad that worked out for you.
Thank you.
Appreciate more or less.
Still kind of unpacking stuff here, but little by little, we'll get there. So it's that time of year where a lot of folks that live in apartments once in a while. It's been 4 years since I changed apartments, but now I'll be just literally a mile closer to work. So
they still do that thing in Madison, Aaron and Todd, don't they? Where for student housing, the leases all expire one day, but you can't move in until the next day. So is there still like one night every summer where like all these kids basically live on the streets for a night?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron, you might know better than I think it's 13th to 14th of August where
something like
kids
that
are homeless. Yeah.
I don't know. Luke said something about that yesterday, actually. So I think
okay,
it's
you there. Haven't had to live through that.
No,
we lived in Madison for a brief time in 2017, and we were on the 10th floor of a building overlooking downtown, and we learned, it's very real. It's like an all night party, you know, out on the streets. And thankfully that year it didn't rain, but in other years it has, and you've got your furniture and your belongings out there. And it's just, I don't know enough details about it other than that it's the goofiest sounding thing ever that you have all these people. I guess they do because there's consistency in how you can get things cleaned and moved out and everything, but it still doesn't strike me as the best process.
No,
Todd, I'm glad you're not on the streets.
Me too. Me too, Pat. I mean, the way the rents are going up, it was close, but no, not so far.
Yeah. Hey, you had Trigvi Olsen on, I'm sure, and I've seen Trigvi from the Lincoln Project posting because he is very much well aware of how politics works in Russia. So I'm sure he's had some interesting thoughts on the near coup that was attempted last weekend.
Yeah, Trigvi Olsen, who is our regular guest on Wednesdays, he'll be here later on this afternoon. His wife, and I'm not saying anything he hasn't said on air, but his wife is originally from Latvia, so he spent time in Eastern Europe over the years there. And then once he left Wisconsin and he worked in national politics, and kind of after he left a lot of the partisan stuff, he worked for one of John McCain's project, an international project to help spread democracy, and ended up helping run pro-democracy campaigns in Belarus, and has the distinction of being banned from Russia by Vladimir Putin himself.
Hey,
so,
I got right? that one for you. Yeah.
He told us a great story. The quick version is John McCain, after this happened, McCain called him up one day. And this is all he said. He picked up the phone and said, "Boy, it's John McCain. You're known by your enemies. It looks like you're doing a good job. Click." That was the entire phone call. So McCain was impressed that Putin himself had banned Trigvi. But Trigvi, you know, has this unique window in what's happening in Russia. And I think the important thing to remember for folks in Wisconsin, why it's important that we follow this. Well, number one, of course, Russia has nuclear weapons, right? And you want some stability there, obviously. But the thought process, at least for me and others, I think, is, oh, great. Get rid of Putin. But there's always somebody worse, right, that you could have.
It is. And it's the Russian nesting dolls, man. You don't want to know what's inside that doll.
Exactly. No. So this is a situation where, as Trigvi put it succinctly, the world has been a dangerous place. It's more dangerous after this weekend.
Yeah, sadly. So as I ask this next question, I think maybe your microphone switch flipped because I'm hearing on your other one. So while you flip that, I'm going to ask a question here about tax cuts. And of course, my question is going to be a statement that you're going to agree with. So, you know, that's what I do on this show if people haven't figured it out. But as I was reading the numbers, on this Republican-sponsored tax cut that's in the state budget bill, it occurs to me what they did to it. They Foxconned the tax cut. What Evers had the – and your mic is way better. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
The Evers tax cut proposal was a lot like the Main Street bounce back grants, where a little bit to everybody, and that goes a long way, as opposed to Foxconn, where you put, you know, 3 billion eggs in one basket. And that's what they've done with this tax cut. When somebody at the top can get a tax cut ranging from $400,000 to $1.8 million, while other people get tax cuts ranging from $11 to $88, you have Foxconn the tax cut.
I was listening earlier before I came on. Was that you or Francesca Hong who figured all that out?
That was Francesca Hong, got a memo from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, and that's what we're reading off of here.
I mean, with your permission, I'm going to cite that today in our show and give you guys credit for it, because I think that lays it out as clear as anything. I mean, that's fantastic work by Legislative Fiscal Bureau and Representative Hong, and for you for putting it out there. Yeah, it's appalling. And you're right. I mean, and those 17 people or whatever it is that make all that money, it'd be great to cross-tab that with donations to Robin Voss and Devin Lemmy Hewitt and other Republicans. And Howard Markline, by the way, yes, co-chair of the Finance Committee.
Yeah, and I wonder if you agree or take issue with my point that, and I'm not really big on vetoing budgets, but that if the governor decides that this is the one to do it with, that it actually will end up bringing more pressure on individual Republican legislators to make the second version a little less ridiculous than this one, in terms of putting nothing into child care counts, nothing into the College of Engineering, nothing for expanding Badger Care, and yet doing this Foxconn thing with the tax cut.
It's a great point, Pat. And here, as a former legislator, you know, if the budget isn't passed and signed into law, the current budget just continues on for our listeners. So it's not like the federal government where everything shuts down, but a lot of projects like the new football practice facility for Coach Fick down there in Madison, you know, that's not going to get built if this budget isn't passed. But more importantly, all these other things for families and childcare and what have you. I don't have time to go into it. Well, Star Trek term, a Kobayashi Maru, a no-win scenario. And I feel like the governor's kind of put himself into a Kobayashi Maru, because if he doesn't sign it, all these things you cited today that we need that are good aren't going to get done. Republicans could cut it further in October. But if you do sign it, as a Democrat, Pat, I mean, don't you kind of weaken yourself if you just acquiesce to all these major cuts that you said you weren't going to sign?
Well, you can. I guess now I'll take the other position here for the sake of argument. And that is to say, actually, you take this and you make them run on it. You run with it. And you say, look, here was my proposal. Here's what Republicans actually did. Now, I signed it, you know, for the sake of not causing, you know, chaos. But you definitely have a compare and contrast going on there that I'm sure you're going to talk more about on the show today from 1 until 3, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Alba, good to see you in the new digs.
Always good to see you.
Thanks for visiting. I'll talk to you this afternoon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Pat.
All right. Thank you. And hey, everybody, thanks for being a part of this today. If you are one of the people of the pod, thank you so much. We appreciate every download, every comment, every time you share this with somebody. But if you are listening live, you keep that radio right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And tomorrow we will have Hometown Health with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Have a great Wednesday. I'll see you tomorrow.
Comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk.